flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
To hear young kids still have appreciation for the players that came before, I think it's a good message, and I think it's something you got to, like we did, you got to pay it forward.
Well, and you hear the Padres start talking about that and getting us all back with fantasy campers around the prospects, going out to Camp 44 and spend some time with the major league starters around what Joe Musgrove, Michael King, and those guys are doing, Cease, getting ready, and just trying to bring the togetherness. And it's just been nice for Mike Schilt on down through the ownership to have us back around. And that's what we're talking about, kind of lost in the game. And I don't want to sound bitter against analytics, because you've heard us talk pitching. Knowing all of that stuff and taking it into the start is critical. Prep is everything. And that's a lot of information analytics that a lot of people provide. But where I do have a huge miss with some of the front offices is when these guys in a front office won't take the time to reverence what a Brett Boone has to say. What more do you need to do, Brett Boone, to have a relevant opinion on baseball? It's all you know. It's all your family's known. You had a pretty decent career, huh, kid? You know, and so it drives me crazy when that's not respected amongst some of the front office guys who are very good at looking at stuff and putting numbers together and help. But for these players to hear from you, myself, and Hoffy, and guys who have been there and done it, and not that we want to change anything, we just want to love on them and be appreciated as former players. And it's nice to see some of that coming back in the game.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's all we can do is what we do. You talk about the front office today. They have changed a little bit, the dynamic of the front office. And it is analytical. And there's a lot of guys up there that haven't been in the game long term. Knowledgeable, smart, technically know the numbers, can run the numbers. But a lot of times that doesn't replace being between the lines and knowing what it's really out like there. Because sometimes the numbers, you can throw those numbers out the window. You can throw them in the trash can, because when push comes to shove and everything's on the line, it's about heartbeat. It's about what's in the individual. And you can't run it like you run a Walmart, because athletes don't work that way.
No, the game of baseball works just like this. Me and you face each other. Well, I've got a scouting report and know everything about Brett Boone. I've certainly watched my last – or all the head-to-head matchups is what I'll leave on. But I watched your last 50 at-bats coming into that game versus right-handers. And then I've watched our history. And then I have a scouting report of what I think I'm going to do to Brett Boone.
Right.
Once you step in the box – where Ichiro, or if he got on or out in the first, if it's the fourth, all of that depends into the pitch selection. And then it happens like this. I throw you a pitch. Me and my catcher are trying to read what you're done and what your prep work says you're doing. And absolutely, then the scout report's a very fluid thing, pitch to pitch, for the rest of the night. And that's where some of the information gets lost on, is the guys on the field are not able to adjust. They've got to stay to kind of a game plan. And the best in the world, you weren't the same guy in your third at bat as you were the first because of what we had taught you and you had learned in those at bats. Right. That's hard sometimes for guys who are sitting in a box and not having that control to give it up and understand that it's an important part.
Right. It's the situation of the game. It's who's on deck. Who's hitting behind me?
What's the score?
What's the score? How am I going to be pitched? It's all different. Is it to lead off an inning in a 6-0 game, or is it 2-2 in the eighth with a base open? The predictability comes pretty different, and the chess match continues going on. I go deeper than, you know, what has happened that particular game? What have I been effective with against you, or what have you gotten me out with that game? Are you going to go to the well again? This is all that chess match that pitcher and hitter go through, which is what I love about the game, the mental side and the thought process and the preparation before I leave that on deck circle. I got my plan. Sometimes you're going to kick my ass, sometimes not. But if I stick with that plan over 162, and I always say this to young players, have a plan, execute plan. Don't waver from your plan, because the guys that waver are the guys that get all out of whack. Over 162, you have a plan every day. Some days you're going to win, some days you're going to lose. But in the long haul, I think a plan and a solid plan, you're going to give yourself the best chance to succeed.
Let's dive in on this a little bit deeper, because I love, and you're like, let's go deeper into game planning and management. If you see me talking about a game on MLB Network and I have a problem with someone's plan, it's not that I have a problem with their plan. Their plan in the moment of the game was wrong, for the situation of the game would be wrong. And I think the coolest thing about this week is in our clubhouse with 18 or so all-stars and Hall of Famers and Cy Youngs to MVPs, you've got some pretty good experience in that room. The biggest takeaway from Gary Templeton to Terry Kennedy on down through the new age younger guys, we were taught to play to a scoreboard. The scoreboard is the guru. It is the baseball god. You reference, Tim Flannery tells the story of you're going to the Himalayas to find the baseball god. You think you're finding this older gentleman who's going to tell you all the rules. You find the scoreboard. The scoreboard tells you everything you need to know. What pitch to throw? What score is it? You know, what out, how many outs are we? The scoreboard is what you play to, and it tells me how I'm pitching. If I've got a 4-run lead, my game plan versus you is completely different than an 0-0 game. Look at the scoreboard. Follow the scoreboard. Do what your team needs in the moment that the game says it needs. We've now, with the new age analytics, are far from at times reverencing what the game and situation needs. And that's where I have a problem with the new age plan and getting your ace swing off it at all times and so on.
It's interesting you say that. You say you're gonna counter me by how I look, how I take a pitch, my body language. You and your catcher are gonna discuss those things. That's interesting to me, because as a hitter, that's an asterisky thing too. Like, I've got my plan, but if I run into a guy that's thinking a little deeper than the average pitcher out there, if you're watching my feet, if you watch how I took that fastball down the middle and you're kind of giving me that look like, wait a minute, how did he take that?
He wasn't on time. Was he on time?
Or he's looking for something else. Now I might have to adjust that chess match change I used to have. And I tell this all the time, Jason Veritek in Boston. He used to be a guy, I'd go there and I had my plan and I'd come to the plate. I might take a fastball located on the outside corner with runners on base. I'm sitting soft. Excuse me. Jason would lift his mask, look at me just subtly and say, Boone, I guess we're not looking for a heater. Wham. All of a sudden, throw all the chess pieces off the board. I got to revamp. Now, am I going with that plan, or has he just countered me? You know, and he's got to think about it too. Is Boone going to switch up, or is he going to stay with the original plan? That's the great part of the game. And people ask me, probably ask you all the time, do you miss the game? I don't miss chasing sliders off the plate and going back to the dugout, but I miss that inner battle, that battle between pitcher, hitter, catcher. Man,
yeah,
I miss that chess match, but I don't miss the rest of it. I don't miss feeling bad and going 0 for 4. And like I said, chasing that slider off the plate.
No, look, I don't miss that part of the game either. They asked me if I wish I could pitch one more time. You think I want to go out there and face that lineup? And we talked about it. The Seattle Mariners and you guys, when I got to the big leagues, you're our rivals. When interleague play starts, we don't have a rival. They stick us with you guys. That lineup, you guys are off the best 116 wins. That lineup, hey, here's what you made me think about. Jason Veritek, Buster Posey. I would get ready to be throwing a pitch, and Buster would be looking. There'd be plenty of times I wouldn't be ready. Buster would just be watching body language and getting to the pitch. And once we found out what you were sitting on, now there's two ways to go about it. I know what you're sitting on. So I know how you're chasing that slider off the plate is because you're sitting soft like you are. I like that. Now, I'm throwing you that pitch that you're sitting on just in my location. Because if you're sitting on it, it's hard for you to see it and you go, oh, there it is. But if I'm going to make it end where I make it end, you're still going to be out because it's my pitch. I would go back and forth with Adrian on this a lot because we would be facing Edison Volquez, say, with his changeup. And Adrian would go up there. He goes, I'm sitting in this changeup all night long. And we would go back and forth. I'd say, Adrian, it's his best pitch. You can't sit on his best pitch. It's unbelievable. And then I said, once he understands you're sitting on it, he's going to throw it this far off. And your eyes are this big because you're waiting on it, but it's still his pitch. So the cat and mouse game, you're exactly right. I think some of the new age analytics have taken out that art form. Let's get these guys as big, as strong as we can. Do this really good for as long as you can. Not the thought process. And that's where the third time through the lineup and all that stuff comes in. You know, Booney, I had to face the third time through the lineup my entire career. Not ever was that an option. Well, to do that, there had to be an art form in some of that thought process you're talking about going on if you had any chance.
Yeah, and they always say, oh, hitter has the advantage. You've seen all your stuff twice. Well, depending on what's happening in the game, it depends who's on that mound. That guy in the mound might have the advantage with what's happened in the first two at-bats. Nobody ever looks at that scenario. They always look, oh, you've seen more pitches from him, so obviously you have the advantage. No, he's gotten me out my first two at-bats with everything. So my thing is I don't have anything to look for because he's getting me out with all of it. You know, if he's just getting me out with one pitch, hey, maybe I get to the point, but he's getting me out with everything. I think it's advantage pitcher. So there's two sides of that argument, but I don't know. People that talk about it, they just kind of cut it off. And it's like, there's so many nuances to it. There's so many levels that people don't have time and probably can't even comprehend what we're talking about, a lot of people, when we get into the weeds.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, yeah, it's why I fight for the dugout to get some power back. I think we've seen the dugout from the managers through the coaches not making a lot of decisions that kind of go against common sense or what our eyes and the scout instinct of what we've seen. And I fight for the dugout to have some authority to make some in-game calls in the front office to be okay with that because of the cat and mouse game. And if you don't think Bruce Bochy in a 9-inning game or Dave Rigetti, a pitching coach in San Francisco, is watching and we're understanding them all together and making adjustments – if you're not allowed to do that and you've got to go with what the numbers may say all the time, I believe you're against the eight ball. And I know it's why Boach and some of these gamblers and people who are allowed to are pulling titles off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, Dave Roberts in the Dodgers did that for the first time this year.
Yeah.
It was not as scripted as it's always been.
Right.
And they were, you know, Dave Roberts got to go out there and ask Blake Trinan and how he felt. Keep him in the game. There's plenty of other, you know, Walker Buehler and all that stuff. It's not scripted. That's all feel, and for, you know, it paid off.
The great ones have gut, and they got feel.